Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Michael, welcome to the programme. How are you, Michael Blackburn?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, that's what we like to hear. It's fine. How many people have we got in the studio present for this special poetic exhibition of Inspired on Air? We have got
a multitude.
Yes, we've got from, of course, the fabulous poet piece. Well, we've got Gemma Baker in. Gemma, how are you? Talk to us about the poetry people you've brought along today.
I'm very well, thank you. I've brought along with me half of Mouthpiece Poets.
and let's just go through that. I know we worked our way through that. We've got Ron from Mouthpiece Poets. We've got Frank from Mouthpiece Poets. We've got Alex from Mouthpiece Poets. And who else have we got from Mouthpiece? Sam from Mouthpiece Poets.
Hiding in the corner.
Hiding in the corner, but all set and ready to actually unleash his talent upon the world. Also on the programme, we've got Katie Dorr. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Alex.
We've got Sue Royce doing double duties as general all-round wonderful person. How are you, Sue?
I am, yes, I'm very well, thank
exactly.
you.
And Michael, we're going to be looking at poetry in every sense of the word. First of all, Michael, coming to your good self, what is it about poetry that led you to become a poet?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, then. It's that kind of quality that brings us neatly round to a gentleman that you were fortunate enough to actually be part of a co-presentation with last week. Brendan Leary is his name. Brendan Cleary. Glad we sorted that one out. Very good. Brendan Cleary, who was at the university doing what?
He was along to do a reading of his own poems and then give a talk about the business of poetry, etc., and answering questions with our MA creative writers, and it went down very well. It was a really great session that
and
he had.
As I was saying in the pre-show chat with, I believe, Ron, poetry is undergoing a bit of a renaissance, Brendan Cleary being one of those examples. Would you like to have a listen to what Brendan Cleary was having a chat with us about and Michael last week?
Oh, we'd love to, yes.
The Journey, which incorporates Brighton, Carrickfergus, Newcastle, Sunderland and Middlesbrough, would probably seem to be unique in so many ways, but it's a delight to be able to welcome to this current edition of Inspired on Air the legend, the poetry genius that is Brendan Cleary. Brendan, good to speak with you. Good
time. It's good to be here. Thank you very much.
Let's put a little bit of meat on the bones of that little description, because obviously being a Middlesbrough born resident myself, I acknowledge that you're sort of over in Teesside University, Teesside Polytechnic as was, moved up to Sunderland Polytechnic, and did an MA there, yeah. Newcastle, and of course Carrickfergus is where you originated from.
I was born in Carrickfergus. I grew up in the north of Ireland, and then I moved to Middlesbrough to do my BA at Teesside Poly. So I spent a few happy years in the borough and then moved to Newcastle. Yeah. I'm one of the alumni of Teesside Polytechnic, which is really quite something.
Absolutely. Essential in every sense of the word, really. And, of course, passing on your civilisation to the citizens of Brighton, even as we speak.
Well, yeah, I'm very fond of Brighton after living 20 years in the North East and now down in what I call Brightonia. Tripping up over all the artists and musicians and poets.
Works perfectly. The Echo Room, it's a wonderful sort of example. It's a publishing press. I mean, like our equally legendary Michael Blackburn, you've shared that the whole notion of sort of printing press, etc. And I like the notion of the Echo Room being a place and a location where writers and poets in particular can get down and get real.
Well, I started at the Echo Room magazine and press in the mid-80s. I did revive it a few years ago, but it seems to have gone into decline again now, sadly. But it's less of a time now for printed magazines. You know, poetry's much more available online these days. But upon starting it, you know, it was very much a forum for new writing that was, at the time, much more experimental and much more in keeping with writing that's written in the language that people would ordinarily speak in, about social issues and concerns that a lot of the contemporary poetry in that period seemed concerned with very grand ideas, and that it was much more down to earth. The Echo Room itself, I got the name because I was once in a cause to be in hospital in Newcastle and saw a sign in the hospital with an arrow pointing to the echo room. It was where they x-rayed people's hearts.
And he was, I think it might have been a sort of tribute to the Sunderland Echo, that local newspaper of fine renown.
No, as a Newcastle man, I never lived in Sunderland. Yeah,
makes perfect sense, really. Brian, we'll bring in Michael at this particular stage. Michael, just a few thoughts from your good self. Obviously, this whole importance of developing, writing, etc. And Brendan's point there about clearly the notion of online readings, etc. Quite important from your own perspective.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, things have changed a huge amount over the last 30 years from print publishing to the online sector, and that's really taken over. So I think he's right in terms of magazines and to some extent pamphlets and don't have the same kind of profile they used to have. But certainly the mid-80s onwards, for a good 10 or more years, there was a kind of boom in poetry, or there's certainly a kind of revolution in poetry which brought in lots of people who normally wouldn't have been writing, and it was very exciting at the time, and being part of that, not just the writing of it, but publishing magazines, you know, pamphlets, books, organising readings and everything else, it really was kind of vibrant, and the Echo Room was one of the most important small presses, magazines at the time, because these were the vehicle through which people communicated with each other and formed kind of little groups and actually got their work together. So it was an exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poetry that matters. That used to be on the flyers for the Echo Room. The Echo Room, poetry that matters. That demystified poetry to a large extent. That showed it could be about everyday, ordinary existence. And the notion being that everyday language, when used in poetry, refreshes the language and demonstrates that it doesn't have to be written in a kind of what I call poetry speak, you know, a sort of self-consciously poetic language. And it was very much, you know, concerned with an era of with various social issues were contested.
And clearly the North East is still, even today, undergoing huge change and sort of shifting from a heavy industrial area to almost a tourist spot in many ways. Now you kind of move up the A19, you head through James Cook country and obviously Teesside into Catherine Cookson country, into obviously the Newcastle land, etc. That was something which presumably, again, you were kind of soaking up. And could you, from your Irish perspective, also kind of really kind of relate to the sort of changes that the area was going through?
Well, I think because I've been safely ensconced in the decadence of the Northeast, the Southeast for so many years, I forget about my time in Newcastle. You know,
Vietnam, then you sort of block it out of the memory. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. But yeah, I mean, I had many happy years there. I don't know what to say about that. I feel a sense of that I did belong very much in the Northeast, possibly more than what I belonged in the north of Ireland, you know, because I left there in many ways as any young man wants to leave home, but in my case, a war was happening.
Yeah. Now, clearly we're delighted that you're able to share your expertise with the MA Creative Writing students. And Michael, I presume the work will start fairly shortly, or actually have been done by the time this interview's aired.
It's going to start in a couple of hours, yes, but they're going to have a really interesting and exciting session with Brendan.
Because the next key thing, Brendan, is as we look in the second decade of the 21st century, I still find it quite difficult to think of us in the 21st century, do you see that same energy, that same drive coming through with respect to it? Because there were a number of folk who felt that the rap music area had kind of developed that sort of thing in terms of performance poetry, etc. Is there still that sense that actually, you know, there's still the dynamism in the zone?
Very much so. I think, you know, it's a much younger generation, but that generation, I mean, there's been a lot of links with poetry and rap music and poetry and hip-hop music. And there's several poets now. Kate Tempest would be one, for example, the ghost poet, you know. It's a completely different generation, but it's still exciting because it promotes poetry as still having some relevance. I think it's just presented in so many different ways now, and it really has moved away from the page. I feel sad about that. I like poetry on the page. And I think that there's variable quality in the performance poetry world, but I'm very excited that overall it is existing and that poetry is being presented in, you know, in conjunction with music, in conjunction with film, etc. Yeah.
And there we have it, Brendan Cleary speaking last week. So in case you're wondering, where can we actually go to find all these exciting things? It was a wonderful thing, as Michael's rightly said. Gemma, we're coming straight to your good self there. Some of the points that Brendan was actually raising there, it refreshes the language, a whole new range of poetic terms between rap, performance and so on. This week we've already celebrated on Monday the wonderful joy of what?
World Poetry Day.
World Poetry Day. So do those things resonate, what he was actually saying then, with obviously what you're trying to do with the performance poets and the mouthpiece poets?
Yeah, definitely. It's bringing poetry to people and giving it a lot of energy and making it entertaining for the general public and also people that are interested in poetry. As you mentioned, World Poetry Day on Monday, we, as Mouthpiece, we overtook Speaker's Corner and recited spoken word performances there and encouraged the public to get involved, and everyone seemed really interested and wanted to find out more and come and see us at the spoken word that is going on locally.
Mouthpiece Poets, of course. The line spelled P-I-E-C-E. Let's turn to our work placement extraordinaire and postgraduate work placement. That would be wonderful Katie Dorr. Katie, where do you sit on the whole poetry debate issue?
Well, I love poetry, but spoken word poetry is something that, to be honest, I'm not that familiar with. I grew up with the sort of classical poets and had a bash at writing poetry myself.
Shall I compare thee then exactly. to a frog, oh dear, oh sweet expiring log? needs a bit of work, but I'll try and develop it on its own sort of way.
I want to know what he was smoking.
Just don't go there, it's too early in the day. Let's turn to Ron. Again, somebody who's a little chronologically gifted in terms of that, but also demonstrates, as indeed Alex, who'll be coming out of her shell very shortly with a wonderful sort of reading from poetry. There's such a wonderful breadth. I mean, poetry is something that really it's transgenerational, isn't it?
It is, yes. It can cover any subject that you like, and quite often people maybe start to write poetry when they have certain events happen in their life, different emotions going on.
A heap of other things to go through, including, of course, Brendan Cleary reading two of his own poems, One Happy, One Sad. Oh, it's quite nice, a little mix of match things. But you couldn't possibly get Mouthpiece Poets in the studio without inviting them to actually share some magical moments of poetry. Could you, Sue Royce? No.
Absolutely not, says me, leaping off my perch
exactly.
like a wise old owl. If there was a collective noun for the amount of poets we have in the studio this afternoon, it would be
A troop of poets.
Absolutely.
I like that. Yeah, Sarah Bollimore and Steve Cole will be impressed with that. We're going to invite...
A
gaggle, did you say?
A rabble.
Rabble Asian terms, etc. Nevertheless, let's launch these readings by coming to you first, Gemma, and would you like to give us a little poetry reading, please?
Absolutely. Passion requires sacrifice. It is the unpaid bill, the 3 hours sleep, the rumbling stomach, the panic attack, the empty bank, the missed appointment, the unmade bed, the unbathed skin, the pots piling up in the kitchen sink, the bailiffs knocking. It's being unable to give your energy to anything other than that which you give your everything. The only thing your mind can think of, the frequency that your every atom vibrates at, your purpose. That which you cannot not do, that which makes you feel like you get lost in its world, its atmosphere. And though your body is present, your mind's not really here, because you can't stop thinking about everything relating to it. Every other action becoming ultimate. What drives you is love, and it makes you alive in ways that you can't quite articulately describe. And you know that feeling is worth every single sacrifice, because just before you die, you're not going to regret that unpaid bill, that unmade bed. You're going to regret not pursuing experience, wasting precious time on things irrelevant. I don't want money. I want memories. I want that feeling you get when you do something you thought you couldn't. I want adrenaline. I want connections. I want honest, authentic, vibrant, soul-feeding existence. I want to do what feels right deep inside. I want to listen. I want to create something instead of being voluntarily consumed by consumerism and mind-numbing comfort. I don't want to be distracted. I want to focus on that which really matters. Truth, love, and passion.
Welcome to the bank, where you deposit young money and you get cash money. I'm Tunchi, the boss, and live from the vault, it's Bus a Bus.
Yeah, 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 y'all. Swag mania, pop the ghost, most carry the most beautiful with us happily toast. Keep the faculty close, gross when we give them a dose. Got them OD and leaning in each coast, scenery froze. Take notes, rock boats, diamonds that fit us. Chanel minks in the winter, who fucking with us? We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow, spilling like rivers. Flooding the street, hoping the swimmers move with gorillas. King Kong's Godzilla's when we roll up. Seat filling the get up when I show up.
Please don't throw up, hold your liquor, girl up. If you're robbing it, please go show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars, it's the raps all tuck your shit in. My new bite like a rantin', to my chagrin. You never win, model thin, walking cracking your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We way gone, talk shit while we ball. So what's cracking with y'all?
Made in New Yorker, the slick talker, keep shit in order. Call a reporter, stepping like British walkers. Legendary swag fluent, see the influence, see how we do it. Get them into it steadily, got them stupid, so undisputed. Act full, back tool, till they pop off. Police crowd up the street, blocking them off, locking them off. Got these n***s while I signal my soldiers. Bossing it up, maintaining composure, staying on the sofa. 30 bottles, 20 waitresses, bring them over. See how we light up, call a promoter. Tell that, bring the bag, better hurry up with it and count the money up proper, cause you can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
Yeah, I feel good, don't it? I feel good, don't it? Hey, I wanna let y'all know. Hey, hey, I wanna let y'all know. This Jeezy, and you listening to Q-Tip, tip, tip, tip. Set them up, stiletto up, saddle up and let's go. Good times, only difference making it dough. Chatter is up, peep the way we batter it up. On top of the mountain, folding the ladder up. You're dead and done, rip up your paper cause your status is none. Transfix on the sphinx of the page, whether chopper or gauge. You're just a single cause you wouldn't engage. Turned up with the script on the cup, you keep the goblins with us.
See how we push sometime, my mind forget cough. Beat him in the head, boop-a-dee-dee-boff, zippity-boof. Beat him in the head again, stop killing me, wolf. Wop, beat him till he drop, piggity-poof. Oxy and me pull, he don't want no problem with nerves. Okay, let's get to drinking, poison our livers. Damn it, we sinners. When me and Abstract together, see we deliver. She got me touching it, fucking all on my fingers. Damn it, we winners. Pillars of this rap shit, homie, they know. Kill everything till it's time for me to go. That's when I bomb it with a blowin' and I black and get a little bit dummy. The microphone is bleeding, you should take it from me.
Incredibly, we do it in the resume. The music, I tune it, YouTube it. It can never ever be refuted. It's gnarly for nukes and naughty for Ninas. Boots and ballerinas, ballers and in-betweeners. Blatant non-believers and overachievers. Kicking it in Pele, Adidas. Drink gallons of liters. All of you must reconcile the leaders. She's begging to eat us. And her man's attitude defeaters, but never a scandal, because me and Bus, we prone to handle with gentlemen.
Not to mention me veterans, say can need me some medicine.
One of those lovely audio punctuation points, as opposed to padding, which one of the poets actually dared to refer to our little musical treats earlier in the production. Pre-meeting, never mind. Thanks to Ryan for coming up with the notion that a collective word for a group of poets is a rhyme of poets.
Yay!
A rhyme of poets.
Wonderful.
Well done, Ryan. He's not just a pretty managing face, is he, really? Sorts of things. Good. Anyway, Buster Rhymes taking us out of the first sequence. Sensational. Michael, any thoughts on what we just heard from Gemma?
Yeah, I what's really interesting is the choice of the details, particularly in the first part of it. The choice of details is really important. And then what you're listening for is things that leap out at you to stick in the mind. So, and sometimes, well, usually it's very simple things. Mm. So after that list of things you were talking about at the beginning, then it moved into the second half, which was a kind of positive thing. Mm. And it was that line, I want adrenaline. Mm. And I thought that kind of said nearly everything in the second part. But it's, because it just says it, and it's really clear, simple language, and it just sort of gets it, you know. It's very hard to actually say the stuff you want without then having to explain it all. That's yeah. always the big danger.
And it
you
sets the
you
scene.
Need to explain things. If it's
it sets the standard. Gemma has set that bar very, very high indeed. I wonder if our next member of Mouthpiece Poets could actually... I'm sure he can. Ron, welcome to the microphone, so to speak. You know, the microphone's not bleeding as yet, but I'm sure it will. How did you get involved with Mouthpiece Poets?
Well, I first got involved with them. It was in 2014 when I started with Lincoln Creative Writers, run by Steve Court, and he also runs a spoken word event at the Jolly Brewer. And at that time, I'd newly joined a Facebook site called Our Beautiful World, and people put up all these lovely photographs, and I started writing poems for them, and then putting them up on their site. I got a lot of feedback. And it was a year ago this last January when Gemma joined Lincoln Creative Writers. She was also interested in spoken word. I'd been doing it for just over a year and I wanted to venture further afield but didn't fancy travelling on my own. And Gemma was a willing partner in wanting to travel and experience other spoken word events.
Just gets better and better. And what are you going to actually perform for us this very day?
I've got a piece here that I wrote in a moment of solitude while I was looking out over the Brayford, actually. It's called I Am a Voice. I am a voice. I am alone, dying in the darkness. I used to shout for help, but then I couldn't tell if words were coming out through my mouth or was it a voice in my head, and it scared me. I am alive, yet I see nothing and feel nothing. The darkness is like something solid. It's inside me. I am a voice in the dark, a quiet voice, and you hope it won't turn silent, the voice you want to keep hearing, because then you know you're still alive. I have no name. There are no names here in the darkness. No one else is here, only you and me. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? I am a voice in the dark calling out for help. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I heard people shouting. It sounded far away in the darkness. Voices saying, survived, alive, breathing. I wanted to shout back, yes, help, help me. Then I thought, don't be stupid. So I didn't answer and the voices went away. If I can hear voices shouting, and I'm a voice here in the darkness, does that mean I'm a ghost?
A round of applause, please. Katie, we'll turn to you, because obviously you're part of the triumvirate panel of judges here. Yes, I realise it's Sue Rice, Katie Dorr and Michael Blackburn. Michael, of course, taking on board the role of being the Simon Cowell of the poetic world. So far, it's been OK, I think.
With much better trousers.
Which would make you Louis Walsh. Katie, thoughts on what we just heard?
I thought that was absolutely wonderful. Really powerful. Yeah. Really powerful.
So excellent stuff from Michael. Well done. It's marvellous. Actually, let's keep the thing going because we've still got to squeeze in an interview piece with the fabulous Elliot Morris, who actually did a pre-piece with us earlier this morning after his car was sorting out his MOT. It's amazing what you can actually get together. Shall we actually do a chair swap here? If you'd like to sort of exchange your chairs with Alex, I think who's next in line for the wonderful glorified treatment, I'll actually bring up a little shot there of the legend that is Steve Court there in the seat. See that? See, that's marvellous. That's a wonderful face there, just proving that he has not vanished from the face of the earth. Although it has been nearly 14 months since he was last with us, so never mind. Alex, how did you get involved with this fine mouthpiece society, poet's piece?
It was actually through the creative writers group, read by Steve, that we were just talking about. And then I met Ron, and he told me about Gemma and the troupe, and I went along and just was made so welcome and never looked back. Just love it. It's brilliant.
It sounds as though, Michael, we're in this middle of a Renaissance period for poetry that we're talking about. You know, it's very, I mean, Brendan Cleary would be just, this is what's happening. Forget Brighton. I'm sorry, Brendan. You're in the wrong part of the country. Should be in Lincoln. What are you going to read for us today?
I've got a poem called Amy. She looks heavenly. A force to be reckoned with. She speaks in falling columns, with words that crumble like abandoned asylums. You'd go crazy for her.
She stands out, like the elegance and hopelessness of the lifeless swan in the lake. She sees the beauty in the emptiness, and the deafening silence is a mere call for her presence, mirrored in her reflection to even nature's balance. She thinks she may be lost, but the world only longs to hear her voice. She brings hope. She has a magnetic force that pulls you in, because you want to know what's behind those wild and tired eyes. You want to tell her that she is kryptonite. You stand near to her, sell your soul for a smile and a clap, and wonder, how is she alone with eyes like that?
Which means, Sue, it falls to your good self to actually cast your Gary Barlow critical eyes over the lyrics.
Six Ivor Novello Awards.
Six Ivor, exactly.
That's all I'm saying about that.
Go for it.
With regard to the poem, as I was listening to that, it really struck me that there was an image that came into my mind whilst you were reading. And the bit that really blows my brain to pieces is whenever you're either reading a poem or you're listening to a piece of spoken writing, that my interpretation of it in my mind's eye can be completely different depending upon my emotional experiences, my practical life experiences, maybe how long I have been treading on the earth in comparison to somebody else, can be totally different. My reaction to it can be totally different to somebody else. I think that's absolutely an amazing thing, because it means that you're playing with language so that you think you're putting out something into the world, and yet that can have a thousand different meanings depending upon who's listening to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love that.
Thank you.
You're nodding sagely, Michael. It's a bit like a masterclass part two, isn't it?
I mean, I was just, again, one of the things that, especially when you hear something and you don't have the chance to read it and think about it, you have to be kind of sensitive to things that leap out at you. There was that line about elegance and hopelessness. That's a really nice kind of combination, because it's so unexpected. What was the last line again? Because that was really...
How is she alone with eyes like that?
You see, that sort of just nails it home, I think. You know.
Superb. Coming up next, Elliot Morris, but now, cue the rock train.
This is Siren FM.
The Rock Train, leaving the station every other Thursday, 8 till 10, bringing you the best local and international bands from the world of rock and metal. The Rock Train, no tracks are too heavy.
As we've frequently said, Inspired On Air is more of a lifestyle choice than a particular musical programme, and indeed arts programme for the Lincolnshire region. And it's a delight, therefore, unparalleled, to be able to welcome to the studio the fabulous, legendary folk musician extraordinaire, Lincoln's very own Elliot Morris. Elliot, good to see you as
ever.
Thank
yourself. Thank you for that very... inflating.
Almost critical. And as you rightly said just a few moments ago, it's such a long time since we've seen each other face to face.
Exactly. It's always telephone stuff. It's
You've
nice
got younger,
be.
I've got older. It's more chronologically gifted. It's astounding. And in betwixt times, I'm looking at elliotmorris.co.uk and I'm seeing a pièce de résistance in terms of a website. You even got a videotape in there that you can
good,
click on
it?
For videos.
Very retro.
It's marvellous. I mean, what was the sort of notion of designing that site? Because as you said, you got to, obviously, the iPlayers, the iPhones, the guitar, the videos, and so on.
You know, if you think about musician websites, you go on it and it's a picture of someone holding an instrument, and that's the same everywhere. So I spoke, it was the guys at Epix Media, actually, and we said, let's do something a bit different. So we were talking about different animations and stuff. So, you know, if you hover over the coffee cup, it drinks. And,
is there something more that happens, or does it just actually, the coffee just...
I think it might disappear. It might get another one if you click back, I don't know.
Right.
Free coffee on my website. There you go.
It's unbelievable. And in betwixt times, of course, the Elliot Morris success story continues ever onwards. Looking at up to upcoming gigs, of course, end of March, you'll be at the Troubadour in London, and then of course Westo House in London. How are the London folk taking to you, Elliot?
It's a great city, great scene. They're because it's a bigger scene, there's a lot more happening, but that means there's a lot more bad stuff as well as good stuff. So luckily I haven't had any bad gigs, but you've just got to search them out a bit more, you know, and work out where those little pockets of things are happening. So the Westo House one, that's in Crystal Palace, that's a really great little venue. And I've also been doing some stuff. I did a gig recently at Blackheath Halls, which was just a stunning venue. I was supporting Cara Dillon there, and they've said that they'll be giving me a call soon about something else. So it's just, yeah, about sort of planting the seeds in those different places.
And just in case the Lincoln Vogue are saying, don't abandon us, don't worry, April 22nd, the Rogue
site. Exactly, yeah, great spot there as well. I've done a couple of gigs there, and they're always fun nights. So I'm doing two sets that night. I think my first one's about 9:15, and then the second one's at 11, so...
The Rogue Saint, of course, literally just the day before St. George's Day, April 23rd.
There
you go. OK, moving on. We're splitting the joy of Elliot over two Inspired On Airs, not only our poetry special that we're running today, and indeed whatever time you're listening to it as a podcast, of course, but also April's Inspired On Air. Poetry and lyrics, Elliot. Lyrics on music, which comes first for you, good sir?
It's always different. So sometimes a little rhyme will come into my head and I think, oh, I might pursue that next time I'm sitting with my guitar. But equally, it could be that I'm just noodling around on the instrument and I find a nice melody and I think, okay, so maybe these words might fit to it. So it's always different. It's always about having, you know, a dictaphone on and having a pad of paper and keeping filling in those things and hoping that they sometimes connect.
And that process of creativity, you can't really legislate for it. Do you often wake up 3 a.m. in the morning and think, I'll just write that one down now?
It does happen. I've spent way too long in service stations, 3 in the morning, going, OK, I'll just get the guitar out to try that idea, and then you look and it's 4 in the morning and you're still 2 hours from home. But you've got to get the ideas when they're fresh, because they don't come at, you know, 12, they don't come at lunchtime.
I know that Siren FM's very own Alan Ritson, our folk specialist, are very excited whenever he does sort of various interviews with you good self, so it's always good. Marvellous on that. But looking at some of the classics, that Home, Unquiet Grave, Eyes, Falling Short, of course, The End of the World, it's all right, it's not going to happen, honestly.
Well, we'll see. Anyway. There's another one of those songs actually in my repertoire. Might do it for you later.
Well, how have you sort of been growing with respect to that? Because obviously, specialising in acoustic instruments, there is this tendency, as we've just done, as you've entered the studio today, to say, you've got your instrument. Would you like to kick a tune out from that point of view?
Yeah.
Do you often find that it's a case of, no, you just need to sort of just chill out? And or is it a case of, actually, it really helps with gigs because you can set up relatively quickly?
Absolutely. It's a very important tool to just be able to play on your own. I was doing a music workshop yesterday and the sort of biggest bit of advice I could ever give an aspiring musician, someone that wants to make a living in the music industry, is no matter, you know, what you want to do, if you want to play with bands, if you want to do duo stuff, if you want to be part of an orchestra, as much as you can, try and do as much as you can on your own. So just guitar and vocals, or just one instrument and vocals, or even a backing track if that's necessary, because when you're starting off, there's not enough money to split four ways. You know, if someone phones up and asks you to play 2 hours from home and they offer you £100 and there's four of you, that's not going to cover the petrol and people's living costs, is it? So for me, it means that I'm able to, you know, not have to share my money with a drummer, basically.
Not that we're against
or other musicians of that sort.
Got to say, social media, of course, one of the key aspects of the 21st century. We've talked about it many a time, and delighted to see that you actually tweeted, headed to at Siren FM to record an interview about at Lincoln Inspired, which will play out this afternoon. Yes, it's happening now. And then you're off to ATM Lincoln to give a workshop. So
that's right, yeah.
Looking at the next generation of people who would look at your good self, yes, Elliot, we can say the next generation of folk who are coming through with that. Are you impressed with the generations? Do you feel as though we're undergoing a bit of a renaissance when it comes to folk? Because I do feel that despite the fact that you don't have, shall we say, the mass media approaches, at times it would seem, other than a never-ending voice or reality TV, etc., there's a really thriving musical scene in Britain and abroad.
I think so, yeah. I think it's... I mean, it's a... I think the more glitzy the commercial gets, the more people will look for the rootsy. You know, it's the kind of antithesis of things like The Voice and Britain's Got Talent and stuff. It's someone who maybe doesn't have the most polished voice and isn't singing the hits, you know, but has a different story to tell and whatever. And I think, yeah, there is definitely a big sort of upsurgence of folk and folky, I think, is the key word, and rootsy stuff. You know, I wouldn't define myself as a fully folk artist. I know there are, you know, musicians from folk families that I've played alongside who've played a fiddle for longer than they've walked, you know, and that's definitely a kind of one route to go, the very, very traditional. But I sort of add other elements. But I mean, that's how you add to a tradition, basically. Okay. And I mean, with stuff like, so we've got things like Mumford and Sons. They're not folk, but they are rootsy, and you know, they're using acoustic instruments. And if in the 21st century people want to listen to a banjo in the charts, then that's only going to help our careers. You know?
I know Katie Dore, who should be with us for Inspired Air, very keen to have a song or a ballad written about her pet rats. I'll
Excellent.
Put that to you as a
okay.
challenge,
right,
which you
okay.
can actually put together.
Might need to give me a
yeah,
year
I
could, or
I
so.
Could,
but
do some things, you know, if you come, some things just aren't meant to be, and when and why out, we could actually do a song about
what
pet rats.
What rhymes with rodent?
Fodent, rodent, schnodent. You don't have, okay. yeah, it's good.
This might have to be a co-write.
Yeah.
I might need your
yeah.
help with
well,
this.
Well, look at that.
We'll hash this one out
yeah,
after,
exactly.
after the
we,
show.
Precisely. We'll put it on social media. Who knows what can happen. The Ballad of Katie's Rats.
There you go.
Yeah, it's working on that.
Yeah,
process.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you like to perform for us today?
So I will do a song about the end of the world. It comes with a little bit of a story. I was working on a traditional British folk song called Death and the Lady, which is it's a song about, it tells a tale of a man that goes out for a walk early in the morning and he sees Death, and he says to him, "Hey Death, what strange country did you come from?" And Death says, "Well, I'm Death, obviously, and now you're dead." So I was working on it for a while, and then I realised that that's actually a very peculiar story. And if you were out in the morning and you saw him, you just ignore him, you know, try and look the other way, try and keep going.
Be very
and,
British.
Yeah, exactly, and you'll be fine, you know, definitely. So that's sort of what the song's about, really.
Elliot, would you like to take us away to end this
do.
First part of the Elliot Morris epic scenario, live and unplugged on Inspired on Air? I think we're pretty much all set, ready to go. We're all ready for this. I think we're all fine. It's a microphone, sort of just it's so excited, it just can't stay on a sort of set scenario there. That should be fine.
Stay with you.
And there's so much to pack into this programme with respect to Mouthpiece Poets, so we have to say farewell for the moment to Elliot Morris. Elliot will be back, of course, next month with part two of that special Elliot Morris-themed interview, by which time he might, Katie, have actually written the Ode to Your Rats, of course. Or maybe it's Mouthpiece Poets.
I'm looking forward to it. Either way.
A big fan of Elliot Morris, of course, and musician in his own right when he's not actually writing poetry, that would be Frank. No, it wouldn't. It would be Sam.
Sam.
There we are. just wanted to panic Frank there for a moment.
Keep us on our toes. So
exactly. Sam, who is delivering CDs.
I was indeed. I'm a right little plugger when it gets around to it.
Well, somebody has to. It's better than A&R, really, because artists and repertoire. But you're going to talk to us now about a bypass.
I am indeed. It's like I wrote this little poem about. I was very sad to hear that our local county council has closed. I think it's around 25 libraries, but I can't remember the exact figure. And it was pretty heartbreaking about this. And there were a group who actually took them to court over it and won. And then they went and they did it again. And unfortunately, they lost the second court battle to keep these libraries in public hands. And it broke my heart, but. That's the thing of democracy. You don't always get your way, do you? But it upset me to see recently that they've given the green light to build this bypass. Eastern bypass? Eastern bypass. And like, I just thought, like, who was it who had this decision that, like, you know, libraries, child literacy don't matter, but I could really do with 10 minutes off my journey to work. You know, and I was thinking about this quite a lot, and I tried to do the empathy thing of putting yourself in the shoes of a kind of fictitious counsellor type character who made this decision. And I wrote this poem from his perspective. So this is in the form of a kind of political speech, is the plan. And it requires a bit of audience participation. So, like, basically, every time I say, we have to build a bypass, everybody has to say...
We have to build a bypass.
So if you want to do that at home, you can do that. You can say that to your radios. Alternatively, yeah. If you disagree with this, you could just throw your shoes at the radio or something like that. Well, you could turn it off, but throwing your shoes is a bit more dramatic, isn't it? Don't turn it off. Because there's better poems coming. Okay, so I've got to get myself into character. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is measured... and how long it takes to get from point A to point B. And the centre of Lincoln is a travesty. We have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
My £350,000 brand new BMW, Midnight Blue, is shackled to impotency when I cannot get up to 30. We have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
I couldn't build my race course. I may have backed the wrong horse. But this is now my purpose. I have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
I've been instructed to make some public cuts. There will be no ifs and no buts. We'll tighten our belts, economise. To summarise, we'll analyse this little town and flog everything that's not tied down. But I won't let go of the jewel in my crown. We have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
Now Lincoln has far too many public libraries. Just because your library's feasibility study may have excluded how every single school child once a week used it, level the ermine, you'd probably improve it. And do you know how much money is being released when we flog these sites to Sainsbury's? Think about it, books are a smorgasbord of cheese. So hop it, get off my bottom, because we have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
What's all this about selling the lawn? They'll only notice the thing once it's gone. There's a developer wanting to buy the place stats, and the Joseph Banks Conservatory, where's that? A gift to the city is publicly owned. They can go play in their conservatories at home. We have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
Also, on the Union roundabout, I'm in no doubt that we should build a pop-up tank to remind our foreign friends that Britain is the best at shooting people, and we have to build a bypass.
We have to build a bypass.
Now we feel so harassed. Do you not know it's hard? People are never satisfied when you sell what's not really yours. I struggle to get it past 50. If I could only reach 70, it would be heavenly. So stuff your libraries, stuff your schools, and your police force and your firemen and your boys and girls. I was elected on a mandate that said I'd build roads, long roads, big manly roads.
Big roads that'll satisfy people. I can do that. I can satisfy people. Men and women. It's a complex. I mean, it's complex. I stand before you on bended knees. I'm begging you, people of Lincoln, please. We have to build... Daddy never loved me! Bypass. Bypass. We have to... I just want my bypass!
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for. I don't please this. Liz Taylor is not a star. And even Lana Turner's smile. Something he can't see. My baby don't care, who knows? My baby just cares for me.
Is, seems less relevant as all of my work slides out of print. I'll do a happy one and a sadder one, shall I? And the happier one, it's called It's Our Dance, and it's for Lorna. It's Our Dance. Every Sunday I play Nina Simone's My Baby Just Cares For Me, and with a different flower in your hair every week, you spring out from the bar and I leave the mixing desk, and we dance with our hangovers. Yes, we dance around the bar. And last week we ended up outside briefly on Lewis Road in the petrol hazes. And we even waltzed out to the beer garden. And everybody smiles when we dance together to My Baby Just Cares For Me. And for a few precious minutes, it's as if we have all swallowed the moon and everyone is lighter. And the world might not ever end. My other job is a rhythm and blues DJ. And a sadder poem from a sequence called The Ward. These are actually poems I wrote when my mother was dying, but she hadn't quite died yet. And I find poetry has helped with regard to coming to terms with grief very much. It's called It's called New Spring. I did write another one, but this is called New Spring. The busker with the checked shirt is churning out painted black as the deafening street cleaner trolley is shuffling through puddles on Ann Street. After the rains, I noticed in the afternoon half-light over a roof the faintest trace of the new spring, which I carry in my heart up to the ward. The girls next to me are on the phone, trying to book some sunbeds. Trains will be pulling out, buses too. Nearly everything is in place. Or so I convince myself as the wind cuts in, umbrellas sway, and I worry about the skin graft and whether you'll eat your toast tonight.
As we've said, all human life is covered. Another two selections there from Brendan Cleary. What can I say? I mean, it's just outstanding. But I think a round of applause for Underpass, not Underpass, Bypass. We have to build the bypass. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Thoughts, Michael?
Oh, that's just... I'm still coming down from the bypass.
Completely stunned.
It was noticeable the temperature in the whole room. Everybody just went up.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, we've even got Andy actually taking photographs outside the studio as it speaks. Yay!
Which member?
Well, there we are. You kept him very quiet. He could have joined in that whole sequence. Anyway, let us keep the pièce de résistance going because Frank has got to say his words before we find out more about Mouthpiece, etc. Frank, would you like to deliver your own unique take on life, the universe and poetry?
Well, I'll try. This isn't the one I was originally going to read, but yeah, you'll have to make do. It's called The Blue Whale. I see the magnificent mass elegantly caress the ocean, such a thing of colossal beauty with an unexpected and insignificant natural predator. I see nature's monarch glide in the oceanic kingdom, such volume, such mass, but of harmony and beauty. I see the lost monarchs drawn to... Sorry, I see the lost monarchs drawn to shore by a cruel tide. I see the innocent split by the tooth of the aforementioned insignificant natural predator. I see the small speck of insignificance growing to be the monarch's deadly cancer. I see the monarch fading, dying and disappearing from existence, and all because of that speck of insignificance. Thank you.
You've been listening to a takeover by Lincoln Mouthpiece Poets on Inspired On Air, but I know the unanswered question, Katie, is what?
Where can we see them?
Exactly. Please, Gemma, share with us how can people actually find out more about Mouthpiece Poets and see you guys perform.
Absolutely. Well, we regularly perform at the Jolly Brewer, the open mic spoken word night on the last Thursday of every month. So that's coming up on the 31st. It is at 8:30 p.m. until late. Like I said, it's an open mic, so it's not just Mouthpiece, it's other poets within Lincoln as well. You can find us on Facebook if you look for Mouthpiece Poets, or on our website, mouthpiecepoets.co.uk, where we have an events section that tells you where we're performing in the upcoming months.
Well, personally, after you launched the whole thing with a sensational example of your own work and then moved on to Ron, etc., I thought Kryptonite with Alex was phenomenal. Then, of course, into the bypass. Michael, have you enjoyed your poetry special?
I have. It's been really fun, this, actually. Very excited. I'm going to have to go and have a cup of tea.
I think so. Absolutely.
Which one besides you, though?
Sue, do you feel inspired?
I do. I feel that, yes, we maybe need some chamomile tea and perhaps a Garibaldi to just get over the emotional explosion of ideas we've had in the last hour.
Too much. And Katie Dore?
Oh, it's been fantastic.
There we are. You see it all working out tremendously well. To the Mouthpiece Poets, a general round of applause. Well done. And that wraps the March edition of Inspired On Air. Have a great Easter. You might be listening to this via podcast on Easter Sunday. Who knows? Maybe on a Thursday evening. Who knows what could be happening? But thanks to Michael Blackburn. Back again next month, Michael.
Definitely.
Sue Royce.
Bye-bye.
And Katie Dore.
Bye.
Excellent. And, of course, to Gemma and Ron and Frank and Alex and Sam. Have we got everybody now? Apart from our workplace, but another in the corner who's sitting there quietly. But we're bringing various other sort of things together for that. We wrap up. And we just have to finish off with two words. Do you remember those last two words that we finish every Inspired On Air with, Michael?
I do, but I've just forgotten what I remembered.
It's inspired B, but you reverse that, really. So it's so a one, a two, a three.
Be inspired!